Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman. We are at the precipice of draft week. It is a week away. We will be in Montreal getting ready for the big selection. Mike, the excitement is in the air. You can feel it. The Stanley Cup has been handed out. Now the next big thing on the calendar is the draft and getting ready to head up to Bell Center in Montreal.
We are psyched, Adam. We are psyched. It's going to be great. It's been a while, right, for the two of us at least. And this year we'll be joined by Bobby Bender, our producer. We'll be there at Bell Center. Bells and whistles on. A lot of coffee. A lot of K-Cups. And we will be there. It's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. We have a special show today, right, Adam? We've got three guests, one of which we got at the NHL Top Prospects game, Connor Geeky of the Winnipeg Ice and the Western Hockey League. So we'll get to that interview with Connor. We also have interviews from the NHL Scouting Combine with Simon Nemitz, who is one of the top-rated defensemen in this draft class, and also Joakim Kemmel, the forward from Finland. Obviously had a fantastic year in Liga, was injured, came back strong at the U18. So another fantastic guest. So three players that will go high in this draft, Adam.
Absolutely. And it's going to be good to hear from those guys and to hear their season in their own words. And if you want to learn more about some of these guys, you know, there are previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. Now's the time to do your studying. Now's the time to know who your team might possibly take in the draft. Go back and listen to, you know, we had Joey Tenute from NHL Central Scouting on to talk about the best guys from the Ontario Hockey League. We've had on JF Damfus to talk about the top guys from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. John Williams from Central Scouting talk about the Western Hockey League. We've had done shows on the top international prospects, the top goaltending prospects. Not only that, we've actually talked to a lot of the top players. Go back and listen to Shane Wright, Yuri Slavkovsky, Logan Cooley talked about their season. All great stuff and easy to listen to. And great way to learn about what your team could do heading into the draft. And like Mike, you said it, we're actually going to a draft. How much fun is that going to be? Like, we had fun at the Combine in Buffalo just because we got to go out and meet these guys and talk to these guys and talk to the scouts. Now we're actually going to get out to see a draft in person. People are going to be able to watch a live draft in person. There's a lot to look forward to coming up here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, and I think one of the things we enjoy the most too, in addition to having the players join us after being drafted, they're making their rounds in that first round process, seeing the, you know, the joy in their faces, the entourage that is with them, right? It's amazing to see all of the cameras and the people that are following them wanting to get, you know, listen in on what they're talking about, the interviews they're conducting with so many different media outlets. And fortunately for us, we're a part of that and the players will come through. And we'll get to speak to a lot of them. One other mention too, Adam, I know you mentioned the top there, all the previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. And one in particular too, I want to direct our fans to was Greg Rajanin, who did a lot in the United States Hockey League. And he spoke about the high school players. Well, Raj, and you know, he's been, you know, a guest of NHL Draft Class here for a number of years since he's been with the league and since we've had the podcast. And Raj announced, I guess it was late last week, that he is going to retire after this season. So we want to wish Greg Rajanin, his wife, Nancy. He's been with Central Scouting for 10 years. We had him on this year, as I said, a couple weeks ago. You can listen back to that. He talked about all the top United States Hockey League players. We got the high school players in there from the Midwestern Minnesota region there. So Greg Rajanin was a wealth of information, and we always enjoyed his company here on NHL Draft Class.
Yeah, Raj leaves some really big shoes to fill, and we're going to miss him, and we'll have somebody, you know, we're looking forward to seeing who comes on and tries to fill those shoes with NHL Central Scouting. But for now, let's talk about Connor Geeky. Joined us at the NHL Top Prospects game back in March, number 5 on Central Scouting's final ranking of North American skaters. Winnipeg Center had 70 points in 63 games, and really great guy, one of three brothers. His oldest brother, Morgan Geeky, is an NHL player with the Seattle Kraken. His middle brother, Noah Geeky, is a baseball player. So a lot of interesting stuff. So let's hear from Connor in his own words.
So Connor, we all know you like to play a hard style, a hard game, play that physical game. Is there an NHL player that you kind of want or like to model your game after?
Yeah, I think currently I've been looking at Leon Draisaitl. Obviously, he doesn't play the heavy game like I say I would, but I think a lot of his vision and his playmaking abilities. I think I carry a lot of those traits, but I think for the most part, just kind of the style he plays. You know, sometimes he's not the greatest skater, but he protects the puck well. He's good with his backhand. I think obviously I'm probably not going to amount to him from what he's done, but I think that's the goal. And I think I definitely play a little bit of heavier, maybe chirpier game even, but I think definitely most of his traits.
I don't know if you're a hockey historian, but one of the evaluators from NHL Central Scouting actually told me that you remind him of a young Joe Thornton, the style of game that you play. Do you kind of see some of those similarities there?
Yeah, I've been told that before. From a young age, the big body, the size, and from what I've heard, I didn't watch back then, obviously, but I heard, he was a heck of a player, and what he did in Boston was, pretty cool, and just how well he saw the ice and did all that good stuff. So, definitely, obviously, a few traits, but I think for the most part, I'm just trying to kind of be my own player, right? That's the main goal for me. But definitely, those two players were very good.
So you got the advantage of having an older brother who's gone through this process, who plays in the NHL, Morgan Geeky, the Seattle Kraken. What are some of the best things that he's told you about how to handle this season, how to handle the draft process?
Yeah, I think, if you knew me and Morgan, we don't talk too much about hockey, but I think the biggest thing for me is it's not even kind of what he says, it's just kind of how he carries himself, right? You can look at Morgan and you quite honestly don't think he's a hockey player. You could think he's a golfer, you could think he's anything else but. So I think that in itself to me is a big lesson, just for how humble he is and how he obviously carries himself and how well he does, how much a success he's had, but I think, yeah, for everything, going through the draft, he had a lot of fun going through it, doing the combine and stuff. So he said, just kind of take it all in and just have fun, right? You kind of got there because of who you are, so there's no need to change. But obviously be humble and be respectful.
So there's a big age gap between you and Morgan. What were the battles like? Take me through the geeky family basement when you guys are playing mini sticks or knee hockey in the basement.
Yeah, there was quite a few times where, one of us would throw a hip check and the other one would, kind of look at each other, and then everyone knew what was going to happen, and you throw the stick and you try and jersey them and stuff like that. Me being the younger one definitely happened to me more often than not. But I think, that's kind of, like I said, it makes me kind of who I am and the player I am, right? You say I play a hard, chippy game, and I think that's due to them, right? I've always been battling as the third child, I guess you could say, and I've gained a lot of confidence because you don't get too much credit from them. But the battles were definitely some serious stuff. And funny story, actually, we were playing one day, and Noah hit Morgan, I think, right through the wall, and my mom was at work, and my dad was at work as well, and. They looked at me because I wasn't playing, I was the ref per se, and they looked at me and they said, I swear to God, if you call mom. And I think like 30 seconds later, I was only like 7 years old, I ran upstairs to the house phone, dialed the number, and I was like, Mom, they broke the wall. And she kind of goes, are you serious? And then she comes home, and my brothers both give me the old death stare that older brothers do, and it was a pretty funny moment for sure.
And of course, Noah is playing Division II ball, Emporia State.
Yeah.
And obviously a major impact on your career as well, but he took the baseball path. Why hockey for you instead of baseball? We know the path Noah took.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I said it to someone the other day. That was one of the hardest decisions of my life, I'd say. Obviously, I love hockey, but I think the easiest way I could describe it is I love hockey, but I like baseball. In a way, I could go to the rink, sit there and do nothing and love every minute. But when I go to the diamond, I want to be kind of involved in it. Don't get me wrong, I love watching baseball and I love watching hockey, but I think from a young age, that's kind of always where my heart was kind of set on, and making the NHL and trying to do my big dream. I think that's kind of why I picked hockey over baseball.
Is there something about your game that you feel maybe isn't given enough credit?
I wouldn't say too much of that. I think my skating's come a long way. I think, obviously, you know, being a bigger guy, you know, you get used to being the slow one. And I think for me, that kind of was a learning curve, you know, growing up, because now, you know, I got a couple of tools that maybe when I'm going down on a guy one-on-one, I can use my speed, but I could also, you know, use my vision and use my head. Because growing up, right, I wasn't the fastest guy. I had to think of new ways to beat guys, whether that's, you know, making him reach for the puck and I lift his stick, or, you know, kind of making him bite and do stuff like that. So I think it adds a lot more tools, but I think my skating has definitely come a long way. And I think, you know, sometimes it goes unrecognized, but for the most part, you know, I just try and use my speed as much as I can.
When it comes to the skating, how do you make it better? Is it getting stronger lower half, getting stronger core? Is it working with a skating coach? What's your process?
Yeah, for me, I think it most importantly, you know, a lot of people say the COVID break, you know, didn't benefit anyone. It was, you know, the worst thing that's happened. But to me, that was probably the best thing for me. You know, getting that little break, you know, me being a tall guy consistently my entire life, you know, being able to catch up to my body finally and, you know, make sure all my limbs are going where I want them to. I think that was a big part for me. And obviously working out and training is a huge part. Skating coach as well. I've had one for quite some time now, and he's, you know, had me since I was a kid who couldn't really skate that well in Bantam. But I think, yeah, for the most part, it's just me growing into my body, and I think I'm finally, hopefully I'm done growing. I know some people want to grow, but for me, I think 6'4 is kind of the cutoff, and I kind of want to, you know, fill out a little bit more. But I think for the most part, it's just filling into your body.
So Matthew Savoy is your teammate in Winnipeg. You're going through this process with him. What makes Matthew such a special player?
I think for Sav, it's his speed, right? You know, you've seen it since I think he was about 14, 15, where he's blowing guys out of the water with his speed. And I think that's what kind of Sav has that, you know, not too many players do. You know, you see him, you know, turn on a dime and guys are, you know, still going backwards, I guess you could say. And I think Sav's got a really good shot as well. You know, obviously you've seen how many goals he's got. He finds a way to put it in the net. But I think for sure his speed is kind of what makes him who he is. And obviously, he's a great person outside the ice, and I think that makes the player as well. But, yeah, I think his speed and his IQ is really well, too. So I think, you know, he's a one-of-a-kind player, and that's why he's so high.
Is it good to have somebody who's on the same level as you, same, you know, you guys are both look like you're going to be high first-round picks. You're going to go top prospects. You're going to go all these big draft events. To have somebody you can lean on, talk to, share questions with, does it make it a little bit easier to deal with all the pressure?
Yeah, I think for sure, you know, with me and Sav, you know, we're pretty close as it is, right? So, you know, being able to go through this, it's obviously bringing us closer. But, you know, a lot of people ask about, is there competitiveness between you two? Is there, you know, you want this guy to, you want Sav to fail so you can go higher? And it's all kind of just you want to get through it together, right? Like, I want to see Sav succeed. I want to see him, you know, get on that podium or whatever it may be, but I also want to be there too. So I think it's a little inner drive, you know, that you want to compete with him. But, you know, having him to lean on here and us, you know, flying out here and having laughs on the plane, I think that's kind of what it's all about.
Give me a good story that, you know, funny moment, practice, game, on the bus, that kind of describes him.
Yeah, I think we were playing a game. I think it was in Lethbridge, and we were on a line at that time, and we all the lines were changed, all the lines were mixed up, and we've never played together in our entire career. That was the first time. And you know, he goes up to the board and he sees the starting lineup, and he's like, I could see him searching for me, but I was behind him. And he finally turns his head and he looks at me and he just gives me a nod with a smile. And I think that was, you know, that was something really funny. And, you know, we both kind of joked about it after and how we played, but it was definitely funny.
Well, you got this speaking with the media thing down to a T, man. This is good stuff.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it very much. Best of luck to you down the road.
Thank you.
Mike, I think the thing that everybody really wants to talk about with Connor is the skating. I think that's really going to be what, you know, where teams look at him. Like, is the skating good enough? Can he be an NHL player with that level of skating.
Yeah, that is the number one top. And I think he did stress that to us at the combine as well when we caught up with him, that that was a topic that a lot of, you know, GMs and scouts that were there doing the interviewing wanted to know. I thought what was interesting on our interview, when I did ask him about what area of his game does he feel he's not getting enough credit, right, Adam, he immediately said, "This, my skating has come a long way. You know, I'm a bigger guy. You would expect that I might be a little slower because I'm a bigger guy. It was a little bit of a learning curve growing up, going on, playing against, going one-on-one against guys. He was able to use that speed, use his head, his IQ, his intelligence. And, you know, I think James Patrick worked a lot with him. James Patrick being the coach at Winnipeg, former NHL defenseman. I think he worked a lot with Connor Geeky in that area of his game. We've heard from John Williams of NHL Central Scouting, a previous podcast, when we discussed Connor Geeky and the skating. And it was John did tell us, like, look, I don't think skating is really an issue with Connor. Obviously, he's a bigger guy, one of the bigger forwards of this draft class, but he's going to learn his way. He's going to eventually get his niche as far as the skating goes. Let's face it, he's a big guy. He can get into the corners. He plays that gritty style of game. Speaking to some of the scouts, they even said that there are times when, you know, you think as though, you know, the skating might be an issue, but then he makes a play that you're like, wow, you know, this kid really gets it. He knows what he has in his, you know, toolbox, and he's able to use those tools. So I think the skating will eventually come along. It's a development process, as we all know, and he is number five in the North American ranks, but I do like the prospects of Connor, you know, maybe going a top 15, top 20 in this draft, Adam, and whoever he goes, he'll mature, he'll develop. And I think that skating issue will eventually go away.
Well, that's the big question, right? As he gets older, as he gets stronger, and you talked about in the interview that he's working with a skating coach, obviously, but as he gets bigger, as he gets stronger, especially in his lower half, will the skating get better, and will the feet get quicker? Will the legs get, you know, maybe a little less heavy, and he'll be able to get around the ice? And listen, 70 points this season showed he was able to get to where he had to get to. The skating was good enough to get him there, but I think scouts are really wondering if it'll be good enough to get him there and get him to those scoring spots at the next level. So, you know, it's going to be something that we're really interesting to see. But I also liked with Connor, the story he told about his brothers, you know, with and you wrote a little bit about this when you did the feature on Connor and the family, you know, a couple baseball players, a couple hockey players, a couple holes in the walls from the boys battling around the house. That was fun stuff.
Yeah, it was. You would ask the question about, you know, what was it like playing in the basement or wherever they might have been playing at the time in the house. And, you know, him saying like, yeah, you know, Noah hit Morgan right through the wall during one of their sessions. And Connor at that time, he said, you know, I was like the official. That's what it's like, you know, when you're with brothers like that are playing together all the time, doing things together. So, and I think that helped Connor develop and grow and really toughen up to where he is today. So I think it was a good, valuable lesson for Connor growing up with two brothers that cared about him, and eventually, you know, really got to play. And of course, Noah's now playing Division II baseball. And Connor did say that baseball, he loves baseball, but his passion was hockey. And sure enough, this is the path he's taken, and it's been a good path for him.
Yeah, I wonder how those hip checks go now with the boys who are about 6'4" and 200 pounds almost. I think somebody else is going through the wall.
Yeah.
Not Connor.
Yeah. That's for sure, man. That's for sure.
We had a great time talking to Connor. We also had a great time talking to Joachim Kimmel at the NHL Scouting Combine. Kimmel had a little bit of a rough season with a shoulder injury that slowed him down. But he had 15 goals in 39 games. He finished strong at the World Under 18s. He's number two on Central Scouting's final ranking of international skaters. Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting, actually said Kimmel could be one of the guys in that running to be number one. He listed four guys that were possibilities to go number one: Logan Cooley, Shane Wright, Yuri Slafkovsky. And he said Kimmel is right in that mix for that number one pick. So interesting talk with Kimmel. Let's go to that interview that we had with Kimmel at the scouting combine.
Describe your style of play, Joachim. What when you're at your best, what do you look like on the ice?
Nobody can stop me. Like I'm I'm skating, I'm shooting, try to score every time and play physically.
And you showcased that at the U18s. You really came on strong in that tournament. And that was a big tournament for you. I think a lot of scouts, a lot of general managers wanted to see where is Joakim now after the injury he sustained. So U18s, how would you evaluate your play? Did you like the way you played?
Yeah, for sure. I think I played well tournament, and I'm happy with that.
So let's look towards next season. What are your plans? Do you think you're ready to jump into an NHL lineup right away come the fall, or do you want to spend at least one more season over in Finland?
For sure, it's feeling right now amazing if I could play in NHL next year. But I guess for my development, it's better than I play in one more year in YIP.
Do you have a favorite NHL player? Are there players that you try to emulate when you're on the ice?
Yeah, I like to watch David Pasternak, and Artemi Panarin. It's a couple good players.
Yeah. You take a little bit out of their game into your style?
Yeah.
What do you think you take out of each of their, Panarin's game and Pasternak?
Maybe the Panarin, like, how he like to find a free space in the offensive zone on power play.
Mm-hmm.
When he shoot, what he did before he shoot, and the Panarin, he has really good like hockey sense, and where he gonna next do, he try to read it all the time when he has a puck.
So we had Dan Marr from Central Scouting on our show a couple of weeks ago, and we asked him about who could go number one. He said there's any one of four guys could go number one, and he included your name on that list. So I'm wondering if you're going to talk to Montreal and they say, why should we take you with the number one pick? What's your answer to them?
I'm a goal scorer who can play to physical game, challenge, opponents, and defense.
What would it mean to you to be number one, to be pick number one if that was to happen?
Yeah, for sure. It's like so amazing. Every work what I did before at this point, it's like a gift if I can get it.
And speaking to that physical style of play that you want to bring to the ice, what helped you in Liga playing there against older, more mature guys? How did that help you mature as a player?
Biggest thing is like my mindset. I just wanna be like best on the ice and when I'm playing, and I don't never give up when I'm playing.
So when you're playing in league, do you play against TPS, and did you play against Slavkovsky?
Yeah.
What's the scouting report on him?
He's a big guy and good player, and he use his size like really good on the ice, and he's so talented. He played very well in like world champions right now, but Finland won that.
Wow, what a dig there, Adam.
Nice.
How does your game differ from Slavkovsky's? So in other words, if scouts, GMs are looking for a player with some, a player of your size compared to Slavkovsky, what do you bring that maybe he doesn't bring?
First of all, I'm a right-hander and he left. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. And I think I like to shoot more. And I like to shoot to score.
I like the fact that when we asked him about, some of the NHL players that he likes to watch, he mentioned David Pasternak. He mentioned Artemi Panarin. He says he likes the way Panarin, wants to find that free space in the offensive zone on the power play. The way he shoots the puck, he likes the way Pasta has that good hockey sense and what he's going to do next whenever he has the puck on the sticks. He's like a chess player out there. So it's interesting to hear these younger, 17, 18, 19-year-old players, who are watching these NHL guys, their role models, and wanting to maybe pick little parts of their games and kind of showcase, what I like about this guy and what I want to, transfer into my game. So I thought that was interesting on his part. And the comparisons have come in. I mean, as far as Kemmel goes, people have said that he has some of those qualities of a David Pastrnak and what he's been able to bring to the game. You know, Kimmel's that really good skater. He's got, you know, watching him on the video, the U18, you know, he's got that acceleration. He's got the speed, really solid on his skates. And, you know, he's kind of that skilled playmaker type of guy with a real good understanding of the game. It was unfortunate, Adam, right, that he did get injured early in the season, the shoulder and whatnot. He was leading the entire Liga for as an 18-year-old, which is quite an accomplishment for him. Finished his season with 23 points, 15 goals in 39 games. But for the most part, you know, playmaker, he can score those goals. You know, I like what Kimmel has to offer. And I know, you know, you were asking him about, you know, if Montreal did pick him number one, you know, what would he say? What would he do? And he gave some interesting responses there, too.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who, like, you like the confidence. You like the fact that he says, yeah, take me number one. I'm a goal scorer. I can play physical. I can challenge opponents. I can change the game. And, you know, you like to hear that swagger. I thought it was enjoyable. You know, you hate to hear a guy like, oh, I don't know, whatever the team wants to do. He's like, no, take me number one. I will lead your franchise. And, you know, you watched him this season when he was healthy. There's no reason to think that he can't be that guy. I mean, 15 goals in 39 games as a 17, 18-year-old in Liga. It's pretty impressive. I mean, I think what Barkov and Laine were the only guys, you know, under 18 to score more in a season in that league. Mm-hmm. And then you look what he did at the under 18s, right? Six goals, 8 points in five games. You see what he's capable of when he's fully healthy. I don't think, you know, unfortunately, because of the shoulder injury that he talked about with us, that he wasn't really able to show his full skill set. You know, like the 15 goals is great. And he had those early in the season before he got hurt. I guess it was an AC joint injury. But, you know, he probably came back a little bit too soon for the World Juniors. Needed another month after that before he really felt like he was himself. And then you see what he did at the World Under 18s when he's at full steam. Somebody's going to get a really, really nice player there. Somebody's going to get a guy who can play in your top six, who can be that really legitimate top line power play scoring threat for a long, long time. You know, he could go. I don't know if he's, you know, Dan Marr talked about he's in the running for that number one pick. I don't know if he's going to go that high, but I could definitely see him somewhere in the top 10. Somebody's going to take him. You know, if he gets outside that top 10, I'd be stunned, but somebody's going to get him. They're going to get a really good player that they're going to be able to build around. And, you know, we talked about, when do you feel like you're NHL ready? He said, you know, logically probably need at least one more season in Liga. So, you know, he goes back home, he stays home for another season, gets his game better, more experience playing against older, more physically developed men. It's only going to make him better. So we're talking the 23-24 season. You know, it's a pretty good guy to add to your lineup, you know, with that level of experience, played against men, that skill set. He's going to help somebody in a big, big way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, when we did ask him about what were some of the benefits to playing in Liga, you know, with the older players, with the stronger players, he said the biggest thing was his mindset to really feel as though he belonged there. He wanted the big minutes. He wanted to be playing those minutes in important moments of every game. When we asked him about, when did you actually feel as though your shoulder was back to normal? When did you feel like yourself? He said, when I was able to shoot the puck again, when I was really able to get that shot, release that shot, that's when I really felt myself. Look, and I agree with you, Adam. I don't think Kimmel might be in that range with that top three that we have there already in Shane Wright, Logan Cooley, Jure Slafkovský. But obviously, Kimmel, and I'm with you, you know, a top 10, top 15 pick, no question in this draft, particularly how he came out of the U18s. You know, he was a scoring machine there, really fueling Finland to what they were able to accomplish there. So I like a lot of what we've seen in Kimmel this year, despite the fact he did suffer the injury. When he came back strong, showcased his skills and what he was able to present. And hey, let's face it, you know, this is a guy, like you said, Adam, is going to really benefit a team down the road. He's not going to be playing for that team most likely next season, but maybe 2-3 years down the road, they're going to really benefit from this player.
Well, another guy who's going to make an NHL impact probably in the next year or two is Simon Nemec, the big defenseman from Slovakia. He's number three in international rankings by Central Scouting, 26 points in 39 games in the Slovak League, played in the World Championships, We had the chance to talk to Simon a little bit at the NHL scouting combine, talk to him a little bit about why he should be the first defenseman picked in the draft, why teams should look to him to be that guy who could be a foundational piece on their defense. So let's hear what Simon had to say at the scouting combine.
If a team says, we're going to draft, why should we take you as the first defenseman in this draft? Why should we select you?
Because I think I'm best defenseman in this draft. They can have good defensemen in their organization. I think I'm two-way defenseman. I play really good in power play, and my hockey IQ is on a very, very high level, and my skating is too good.
Speaking of that, with the skating and your hockey IQ, who are some of the players in the NHL that you like to watch and maybe try to take a little bit of their game into yours?
I really like watching Cole Makar or Adam Fuchs or Roman Josi.
Hmm. You consider yourself an offensive type defenseman, correct? Like,
yeah.
You mentioned Cale Makar, Roman Josi, these offensive guys. Is that what you like to do? But talk a little bit about your defensive game. Has that improved as well?
I need to improve for my defensive play, but this year I improved very well my defensive play. I'm better like I was.
So you're going to get a decent chunk of summer here to work out. Is there an area of your game you really want to focus on? I want to get better here on the ice or off the ice?
I think my physical play I need to improve most.
Get stronger?
Yeah.
That was some great discussion with Simon Nemitz there, Adam. You know, Nemitz to me is, you know, one player. I think when you're talking about our top three that we're considering for, you know, 1, 2, 3 in order for the draft, Nemitz is a player that could maybe supplant whether it's the number two or number three. That's my opinion, just because we've seen what mobile, agile, puck-moving defensemen can do in the NHL. I mean, let's face it, Cale Makar wins the Conn Smythe. He was exceptional in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, you look at a player like Roman Josi, and I got to be honest with you, when I spoke to some of the scouts at the Combine, some of them were comparing Simon Nemitz to a Roman Josi. So if you have a chance to bring in a Roman Josi and in 2 to 3 years have this, you know, him playing for you on the back end, decent size, comes in at number three on Central Scouting's international ranks. You know, it's going to be a difficult decision for those teams in that top three range, because you know darn well at number three and number four, number five, they're looking Simon Nemitz and you know, maybe a David Juracek all the way. But, you know, when we asked Simon Nemitz about which players you like to watch, which players you like to enjoy. And again, I like these questions and I like the responses from these kids. You know, Simon wasted a little time, you know, Cale Makar, Adam Fox, Roman Josi. These are offensive puck moving defensemen who can make an impact, who can quarterback a power play. And he said that one of the areas that he wants to improve and he's been working on is the defensive side of the game. And that's something with good coaching, maturing, developing will happen. So I really like this. I really like Simon Nemitz. And like I said, it wouldn't surprise me if he jumped in to the mix of maybe a number two or number three. I don't expect it to happen, but I don't think it would surprise me as much as maybe some others.
I'm with you there. The scouts that I've talked to, the people that I've talked to, they said there is a chance one of those defensemen could pop into that top three. You know, again, I don't know if I'm running the team, if that's the direction I go. But I think there's a lot to like about Simon Nemitz. I think the big question, though, is who do you like better? Who projects to have the better NHL future? Is it Simon Nemitz or is it David Juracek? You know, if Juracek didn't have the injury, I wonder if this would be a different question. If we would be sitting here with Nemitz at number three on the final ranking and then Juracek at number four, for whatever value you place in that, you know, would the roles be reversed? Would Juracek even be in that top two with Slavkovsky, you know, between Slavkovsky and Kamel, had he not missed 3 months of the season with a knee injury? You know, there are scouts who believe that Juracek is more NHL ready right now because of the size, because of, you know, maybe the relative competition in the Czech league versus what Nemec had in the Slovak league. Not that the Slovak league is anything to laugh at, but maybe the competition's a little bit better in the Czech league. So there's some legit question that maybe it's Juracek, maybe it's not Nemec. And I like Nemec when I asked him, you know, why should a team take you as the first defenseman? Is it because I'm the best defenseman in this draft? And he makes a good case when you watch him on video. The puck moving, the offensive skills, you know, the size is 6 foot and 199 pounds, but you figure he might not get any taller, but he certainly can get bigger and stronger. You know, is he ever going to be 6'3 and 200 pounds like Juracek? Probably not. But 6 foot and 199 pounds with that mobility, with that offensive skill set, with the hockey IQ, that plays in the NHL. That plays at the next level, and that makes you a top pair defenseman at the next level. So if that's what you need, if you are willing to take that chance, maybe you value the defenseman. And look, we talk about what positions are more important. Teams talk about building through the middle of the ice, center, defenseman, goalie. Well, you've got a chance to take maybe a high-end center, maybe a high-end wing like Slavkovsky or Kamel, or maybe a high-end defenseman. That's a really interesting question. And I think, you know, again, this goes back to the unpredictability of this year's draft. Right. Do we really, like, we've talked about Shane Wright being number one and Yuri Slavkovsky being number two. We've had in our mock drafts, we talked about, I feel like, most of the season. But would you really, do you really think those decisions are set in stone for the teams that have to make them? Do you really think Shane Wright is the guaranteed 100% carved in stone, no doubt about it, number one pick of this year's draft? Because I think it's likely that it's Shane Wright, but I'm not betting my house on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I think Montreal still maybe hasn't made the decision.
Yeah, it could. That's very true. We know, you know, we've heard, you know, Kent Hughes, the GM from Montreal, saying that we're definitely going to keep the pick. We don't know if that's blowing smoke at all, but that's what he told us. That's what we have to believe. And I'm sure they're, you know, debating on who it could be, but we do think it will be Shane Wright. Now, all things being equal, and I've heard a lot too, that a lot of the players at the top, including Simon Nemec, all have kind of identical ceilings, right, Adam? We've been hearing that a lot too, like Shane Wright, Yuri Slavkovsky, who's a wing, you know, Logan Cooley's a center who now we're wondering if he's going to be a wing at the NHL level or a center. And then there's also, you know, the big right-handed D's and Simon Nemec and David Juracek. So all things being equal, the ceilings for these players all seem to be around the same point. So to your point, yeah, if that's the case, if you're picking in that top four, top five range, why not take the player that you may need in your pipeline for maybe 2-3 years or even next year, depending on how they play in training camp down the road? So look, Simon did tell us in our interview with him that he feels as though he's that two-way defenseman. He feels he's really good on the power play. He likes his hockey IQ, and he thinks he can think the game at a very high level. You know, he did all the right things, played the right way for Nitra in Slovakia, the top league in Slovakia. And he had a monster postseason, Adam, right? He had 5 goals, 17 points in 19 games for Nitra in the postseason. So all the areas, all the boxes are being checked for Simon Nemec here. And again, I'm not saying that, look, if I'm picking 1, 2, or 3, I probably would take one of those top three that we've been talking about earlier, Shane Wright, Yuri Slavkovsky, Logan Cooley, but Simon Nemec has to be in a discussion somewhere. So it's going to be real interesting debate and banter among the scouts and the general manager heading into this draft for sure.
Well, there's about a week left for the teams to banter and make their decisions and watch their videotape and review and review and review again. So there's a lot for them to look at. There's a lot for you to do if you want to go back and learn more about these guys. You can go back and listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class, free to download anywhere you get your podcast. Please leave us a review, preferably 5 stars. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at NHL Adam K. Mike is at Mike Morial at NHL. And you can also keep up with us on our stories on NHL.com. NHL.com/draft is where you can find all of our stories. We've got top 10 lists by position, We've got top players by each league. We've got feature stories on some of the top prospects. It's going to be fun. We're getting ready to go, Mike. We're getting close. Time to pack up and get ready for Montreal.
Cannot wait. Looking forward to it, Adam.
Absolutely. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.